From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, July 14th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how tax credits are playing a key role in the Biden administration's plan to lower greenhouse gas emissions by capturing carbon. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Iowa's Republican-led legislature passed a bill this week banning most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Araceli Gomez Aldana reports on how that could affect Planned Parenthood of Illinois.
Illinois is surrounded by states where abortion is now banned or restricted. Cristina Villarreal with Planned Parenthood of Illinois says currently they see patients from 34 different states, including Iowa.
We saw that with the Dobbs decision and the overruling of Roe. We had a 54% increase in abortion patients in the last year. We know that when a ban comes up in Iowa, that means we are going to see more patients here in Illinois.
Iowa's Republican governor says she will sign the bill this week and it will take effect immediately. Araceli Gomez Aldana, WBEZ News.
Two recruits in Northwestern's football team have announced they will not be joining the program following news of hazing. Lisa Phillip reports.
The two incoming freshmen announced on Twitter they were grateful for the opportunity, but were going to pass on the chance to play for the Wildcats. This follows the firing this week of longtime head coach Pat Fitzgerald after student journalists reported the sexual nature of hazing allegations on his team. The university also investigated. Fitzgerald insists he knew nothing of the misconduct. His attorney may pursue damages from the university for breach of contract. Northwestern is expected to name defensive coordinator David Braun acting head coach. Braun was hired by Fitzgerald 6 months ago. Lisa Phillip, WBEZ News.
Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed legislation making it easier for community college students to transfer into the state's universities. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar has more.
Students who have earned the minimum transferable semester hours, have a minimum GPA of 3.0, and meet the English proficiency requirement are eligible. Democratic State Senator Paul Faraci sponsored the legislation. He says there's a need to make four-year universities more attainable for students.
The whole point of this is make sure that we pipeline them in to universities in Illinois and that we keep them here in Illinois, keep our talent right here where they belong.
The legislation will impact four state universities and takes effect on January 1st. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
About two dozen protesters Wednesday called for the release of names of Chicago cops under investigation for alleged sexual misconduct involving at least one migrant. The protesters live near a West Side station where those officers have worked and where about 40 recent Latin American arrivals were living temporarily. Baltazar Enriquez heads the Little Village Community Council.
We are making sure that these migrants, these asylum seekers, have a voice, that this crime doesn't get put under the rug and get ignored. Because there's a culture that the police department has where they are not held accountable when they commit a crime.
The protest took place at a Chicago agency that's investigating the officers. Mayor Brandon Johnson's office says it's planning to move migrants from all police stations to shelters. The Dennis Lab schools in the Decatur Public School District are now off limits to everyone. In late May, Decatur closed the original K-8 school buildings over structural concerns. Yesterday, the district received a complaint from the Illinois Department of Labor that employees were still entering and exiting the buildings. The complaint also says the Dennis buildings contain asbestos and mold. Decatur School says it has closed off all access to the building and any contents in the building must remain inside of the facilities. The district will install three mobile buildings at Garfield Learning Academy for students who formerly attended classes in the Dennis Lab buildings. Still to come, we'll learn more about how tax credits are part of the Biden administration's plan to lower greenhouse gas emissions. That story is next on 217 Today.
In the PBS series D.I. Ray, Detective Inspector Rachita Ray must deal with biases within her department while she investigates her first homicide. As she delves into the honor killing of a young Muslim man, Ray journeys into the shady world of organized crime. Ray is also forced to confront old wounds and the difficulties of being a British Asian policewoman. The four-part drama is available to stream on WILL Passport. Learn how you can watch this and other mysteries at will.illinois.edu/passport.
The White House has a set goal of reaching a carbon-free grid by 2050. The linchpin to this plan? Tax credits. And lots of them. Last year's Inflation Reduction Act committed over $250 billion in tax credits to jumpstart the country's clean energy transition. Harvest Public Media's Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco has more about how the surge in funding could mainstream carbon capture technology.
Walking between two rows of fermentation drums at the Atkins Energy Ethanol Plant in Northwest Illinois, Jason Townsend shows me a pipe overhead.
And the pipe is that one?
Way up top.
Townsend, who's worked at the facility for two decades, tells me it emits something like 175,000 tons of CO2 into the atmosphere a year.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You see, it's running along the catwalk up there in between the two tanks.
That pipe connects several fermentation tanks and collects the CO2 produced in the process of making ethanol, a form of alcohol derived primarily from corn that is widely blended into fuel. And very soon, the CO2 coming out of that pipe will be captured, which could help the U.S. hit the Biden administration's goal of net zero. Atkins Energy is in the beginning stages of piloting a new technology that would capture CO2 and turn it into green methanol, a popular biofuel with all kinds of industrial applications. The plant's general manager, Bill Howell, says it's expensive to take this on.
And so the question is, how much risk can companies assume in the early stages in order to participate in that developing market?
The Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law, both passed last year, are attempting to answer that question. Together, they're investing hundreds of billions of dollars over the next decade to jumpstart the clean energy transition. Included is a whole set of new and revised tax credits. They're aimed at building infrastructure, like EV charging stations, wind and solar power, and carbon capture. Noah Deitch is a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Carbon Management at the Department of Energy.
They help essentially put the thumb on the scale to make technologies that might be a little bit more expensive, but are zero emissions today, something that's cost effective here and now.
The Inflation Reduction Act also expands uncapped tax credits, like the 45Q, which in the past paid $45 per ton of CO2 captured and permanently sequestered underground. The new law almost doubles that and pays even more if gas is removed directly from the air. The lucrative tax credits are already having an effect. Three pipeline projects propose capturing CO2 from dozens of Midwestern ethanol facilities and then transporting and sequestering it under Illinois and North Dakota. The Congressional Budget Office and the Joint Committee on Taxation estimate that carbon capture and sequestration credits will cost the government upwards of $3 billion over the next 9 years. However, Neil Marotta, the Assistant Vice President and Policy Advisor at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, says taxpayers could be on the hook for even more.
They're uncapped, so the ultimate take-up just depends on how much commercial viability and interest there is in trying to pursue carbon capture projects.
Marotta co-authored a Brookings Institute report that found that the tax credits could cost somewhere in the ballpark of $100 billion over the next 10 years, or 30 times what the government estimated. And there is concern about whether the money will be well spent. Steve Ellis is the president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. He says an analysis by federal agencies found that 10 companies claimed over $1 billion in 45Q tax credits previously.
And when they did the analysis, they found that $894 million worth of those credits, so almost the entire amount, you know, nearly 90%, did not comply with EPA guidance.
The Treasury Department and the IRS are expected to release revised guidance on tax credits later this year. The DOE's Deitch says tax credits may be expensive, but they're worth it.
The alternative is emissions going into the air, making climate change worse.
And that could be even more costly. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
Aaron Jordan of the Cedar Rapids Gazette contributed to this story as part of a collaboration with the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk and Harvest Public Media. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a chance of thunderstorms and a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Araceli Gomez-Aldana, Lisa Phillip, May Antar, Owen Henderson, Reginald Hardwick, and Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Ferry Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.